After being closed for a year, Battle Creek College reopened in the fall of 1883 with W.H. Littlejohn, the blind pastor from the Dime Tabernacle, as president. The college grew under W.W. Prescott's administration from 1885 to 1895. Electric lighting was installed in 1896. The next year, E.A. Sutherland was called from the presidency of Walla Walla College to head Battle Creek. With him came his faithful supporters, Percy T. McGann and Miss M. Bessie DeGraw. "The conservative man will never be a reformer," was Sutherland's watchword, and he and his supporters set about to reform Battle Creek College. Sutherland's reformers bought an 80-acre farm for vocational studies, established 15 elementary church schools in 1 year, and dropped the traditional classical course from the curriculum. They even stopped granting degrees. Tensions developed between Sutherland's group and more conservative church leaders. Ellen White encouraged Sutherland, but when he decided to use the Bible as the only textbook, she cautioned him against going to extremes. At the 1901 General Conference, she inspired the delegates with her talks about Avondale School in Australia.
Ah, there you are, Sutherland. Mr. Graw and I have been looking for you.
I'm glad you dropped by, McGann, Mr. Graw. I've been sitting here thinking about Sister White's talks on the work in Australia.
I wish we could have a school like Avondale College, mm-hmm. one that teaches manual arts as well as religion and intellectual subjects.
My thoughts exactly, Mr. Graw. But it's not possible with the small amount of land we have here. We're so hemmed in by the town.
If only we could move the school, like we proposed in 1898.
The frustrating thing is knowing Sister White agrees with us. Mm. It has advised us to wait.
It's true that the college debts are heavy.
Well, I'm going home to sleep on it. Maybe I'll have an idea by morning. Mm.
Percy, who's pounding at the door?
I can't say, Ida. I reckon I'll have to go find out.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Professor McGann.
5:30 in the morning, to be exact, young fella. I trust you have a good reason for waking me from a sound sleep.
Yes, sir. Sister White wants to see you.
Indeed. I'll dress and be there as fast as possible.
You're in a mighty hurry, Percy. Are you expecting good news?
Not really, Ida. Remember, I said I lived in Sister White's home for a while when I was a student here?
Yes.
Well, I was scared to death every morning that she would have had a vision in the night telling what a devil I was.
Oh.
Maybe it's finally happened.
Thank you for coming, Brother McGann.
Of course, Sister White. You had something to say to me.
You remember when you and Brother Sutherland talked to me about moving Battle Creek College out of Battle Creek? I told you at the time not to do it. Now I am ready to tell you to do it.
You are?
What we'll do with the old plant, I don't know. I think possibly we may be able to sell the sanitarium. I don't think even then that we'll be able to realize enough to pay off anything on the principal. Perhaps we'll get enough to pay its debts. We'll have to go out empty-handed. It's time to get out now. For great things will soon be happening in Battle Creek.
Later that day, April 12th, 1901, Ellen White stunned the conference delegates by urging immediate removal of the college to a country location. The vote to move was unanimous, and the search for a site began immediately. Sally Sutherland and her husband crisscrossed southwestern Michigan on their bicycles. Although several places were considered, Sutherland had his heart set on a spot he had visited 2 years earlier. On a lovely May day, he and McGann rode their bikes 20 miles from South Bend, Indiana, and crossed the bridge below the village of Berrien Springs, Michigan.
Sutherland's! That's a mighty high bluff at the end of this bridge. Now you can do what you want, but I'm jolly well going to get off and push my machine.
Good idea, McGann. I was just going to suggest it myself.
You said you were in Berrien Springs in 1899?
That's right. Mrs. Henry persuaded me to join her here in addressing a Chautauqua on the subject of temperance.
What kind of town is it?
A small market town. Used to be the county seat. Lost out to St. Joseph in 1894 because Berrien Springs doesn't have a railroad. It's still a resort for vacationers from Chicago, though.
We've reached the top. See, what's that large building on the corner?
That's the Orinoco Hotel. It was floated here on the river from Bertrand some years ago. It's a busy place in summer, but empty during the winter.
Sutherland, is that a tree in the middle of the road?
Yes, and not the only one in town, either. The people of Berrien Springs love their trees, and they've refused to cut down some of the biggest and most beautiful ones. They just drive around them.
Well, we said we wanted a rural place. How much farther is the Richardson Farm?
Roscoe Dix wrote me that it's about 2 miles out of town, just next to Edgar Garland's fruit farm. Two more miles of sandy roads. Mount up, McGann. Too bad we can't get Garland's farm as well. It's in much better condition, a real showplace. It would be wonderful if we could persuade him to sell.
Mr. Garland is eager to have the college moved to Berrien Springs, you said?
That's right. He's a prominent and civic-minded citizen, and he's convinced the college will be good for the town. There's no other college in the whole county.
Well, then, Sharon, we'll have to encourage him to talk himself into selling.
McGann's encouragement evidently worked, because Garland agreed to sell the farmland and Stevens Woods as well. About a month later, Sutherland, McGann, and a few associates stood with Garland beside the farmer's gate.
We're very pleased with the land you've shown us, Mr. Garland.
You may look for a site from here to Traverse City, but you'll not find one equal to the bluff out there overlooking the river.
Agreed, Mr. Garland. Will you accept this $5 as an option on the farm?
And that I will, Mr. McGann. And I sincerely hope you pick up the option in the near future. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day,
Thank you, Mr. Garland.
Well, gentlemen, let's return to Battle Creek and present our decision to the brethren. McGann, it was good thinking to offer Garland that $5 bill.
It is a good thing he accepted it. It was the only one I had.
Sutherland was so sure the property would be approved that on July 1st, he had the college property packed into 16 freight carloads and moved to Berrien Springs. On July 15th, his faith was rewarded as the new board of college managers, chaired by Dr. Kellogg, met in Berrien Springs and voted to purchase 272 acres for $18,000. A letter from Ellen White, which arrived after the meeting, confirmed the correctness of their decision. Since Battle Creek was 90 miles away, it seemed appropriate to rename the school.
Professor McGann?
Dr. Kellogg, I move we adopt Homer Salisbury's suggestion of Emmanuel Missionary College.
And spell that with an E. Emmanuel.
Thank you, Miss DeGraw. Do I have a second to the motion?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Professor Sutherland, when do you propose to begin classes in Berrien Springs? Next fall?
Absolutely not. We'll begin this fall.
So soon?
Impossible.
It can't be done.
I don't believe it.
No, continuity is important. If we wait for a year or even a term, we'll lose students to other institutions. Of course, there's a lot of work to be done, so we'll put off the opening date till October 30.
I agree with Professor Sutherland. It'll take a lot of work, but we can do it.
How do you propose to accomplish this feat? We have no buildings. Tents are all well and good for the summer schools and teachers' institute we've planned, but they just won't do for the winter.
The old county buildings in town are standing empty, Elder Prescott. I propose we rent them for offices and classes. As for student housing, we'll advertise in the Era, asking village residents to rent to our students.
Sutherland and McGann had ambitious plans, and there were many factors against them. Lack of time and money. McGann's near death that summer from typhoid. Difficulties in securing faculty, and continued opposition from some denominational leaders. But they were young, determined, and convinced they were on the right course. They were also backed by faithful supporters, such as Miss DeGraw, Christian M. Christensen, the farm manager, the doctors Edwards, Mr. and Mrs., and Joseph H. Hoy, former principal of South Lancaster Academy. Emmanuel Missionary College would open on time.